Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a truth terrorist. I'm a knowledge gangster. I'm a black history hitman. I'm a lie killer, urban gorilla. I gotta be a roughneck.
Free the Black Panthers. FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers. And fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment. Trying to make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay,
free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movement for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, fuck coin sale pro.
Show,
they got me started, lying hearted, I'm the new Mufasa. And I'm all about Umoja, first in Guzu Saba. Let's bring back the black families, we need our father. Single mama, son and daughter, that's root of the problem. Wise up, we wise up, unity is so powerful. Black banks, black schools, black owned, black power moves. You telling lies, you think this shit won't be televised. Black power, be scared guys, that be standing there like they paralyzed, huh? We say fuck the system, cause we above the system. We keep ARs and pistols, shotguns that's worth a crystal. But that's for self-defense, make sure we have no issues. Be sure to leave it at the door if you have it with you. This for them freedom fighters, that lost their freedom. Until they freedom, we screaming carpe diem. This for the general, King Khalid Muhammad. We gon' make your day a holiday, I fucking promise. Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment, tryna make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay,
free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movement for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, fuck coin tail pro.
RBG, 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 RBG. My sisters, my brothers, the council, the elders, shit, that's really all I need. We suited, we booted, don't do it, you stupid, we head to the armory. Black woman and goddess, regardless, my heart just don't fuck with misogyny. Bullshit, I don't tolerate it. Melanated, so you gotta hate it. Barack fucked up another conversation. Trump finna get inaugurated, damn. Unify or die, NBPP.org.
First and foremost, the new Black Panther Party, no other Black Panther Party, we are not violent. We are for self-defense and self-determination. The most violent group in this country are the police. What is taking place by the police departments to black people across this country is ethnic cleansing and genocide. It has escalated since the day that Barack Obama was inaugurated in 2008. We have a people who are only 13% of the population, yet we make up 80% of the prisons. We have 50% unemployment rate in the black community, and it's actually even more than that because they're not counting our people that are in the prison. The 13th Amendment says you cannot be made a slave or indentured servant unless you commit a crime. The 14th Amendment forced our people to be subjects of this government. We never had any say in that. We need our own nation.
She's just convalescing, guy. He calls them senior citizens' homes. But they will put them away and throw the key away and forget them. And to satisfy their evil way, every year, one day out of the year, they'll go by and give them a little gift. Or pay them a little attention and say, this is Mother's Day, but all the other days belong to the devil, but I'll give Mother this one day. That's not our purpose here today. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, they teach us that no nation can rise higher than its woman. That the woman is the hallmark of civilization. That the woman, in a sense, is the standard bearer of civilization. where there are no good women, no decent women, there can be no good men, no decent men. Because women are the teachers of men. Women are those that we learn even to speak from. They don't call it the father tongue. What do they call it?
The mother tongue.
They call it the mother tongue. Why do they call it the mother tongue? Because woman, mother, is God's own divine agent and representative here on this plane. She represents the divine creator. She is his messenger. She is his servant. She is his minister. And when you don't see him, you see her. And when you're looking at her, you're looking at him. Because woman is God's messenger and representative here on this earth. But now the woman that we came here to honor today is not an ordinary woman. This is not just any woman. Yes, all women hold a particular role and play a particular role in their society. But we're talking about this woman. We're talking about the black woman. We're talking about the mother of civilization, the queen of the planet Earth, and yes, the goddess of the universe. Before this black woman, there were none. And after her, there'll be no more. She's the one from everlasting to everlasting. There would be no brown woman if it were not for the black woman. There would be no red woman if it were not for the black woman. There would be no, come right on, my sister, and have a seat. Doesn't she look beautiful right here? Give her a hand. Have a seat. All praise be due to Allah. How many of the sisters have your roses? Hold them up. Let me see your rose. Give him a hand, brother. Stand and give him a hand. All praise is due to Allah. We are not talking about any woman. Reiterating, we're talking about the woman. Anytime you talk about something that is the, brother, would you just step down two levels there so I can kind of see how there's one level to do. Can't go any further. In the English language, the is the definite article. And anything that you put the in front of, it epitomizes it. It standardizes it. So if we're talking about the woman, if we're talking about the mother, then we're talking about the mother of mothers. If we're talking about the woman, then we're talking about the woman of women. And as I said, there would be no brown woman, no red woman, no yellow woman, and I didn't get to say it, but yes, there would be no white woman if it were not for the black woman. The black woman is the mother of all of the mothers. Not only are you the mother of the black man, but you are the mother of all of the mothers. That's you. That is why it is written in the Old Testament in the book of Exodus. Honor your mother and your father, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now, yes, that means that we should honor our biological and spiritual and divine mother and father. Yes, that's what it means. But the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan teach us that it has a deeper meaning. And the deeper meaning here is talking to the white man. The white man is told to honor his mother and his father. Who's the white man's mother? And who is the white man's father? The white man's mother is the black woman. And the white man's father, we'll talk about it when we talk about Father's Day for the black man. We'll talk about the black man being not only a father, but the father of all of the fathers, as she is the mother of all of the mothers. But the white man is warned, honor your mother and your father, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. But the white man has not honored his mother. He has not honored his father. He took this woman during slavery and would hook black women up to a plow and beat the black woman and make her pull the plow. This black woman during slavery under the yoke of the white man's bondage and oppression would sometimes have to have a baby at one end or one row of the cotton, and then after a few hours get up and continue to pick cotton or to pull the plow in the field. He would take this woman and catch her 9 months pregnant and bring audiences of black women who would also be pregnant and take a knife and stick it into the stomach of the black woman and cut her stomach open and rip it open and reach his slimy, nasty disease, AIDS, herpes, syphilis, gonorrhea, hand in there and snatch the unborn baby out and throw the baby to the ground and crush the baby's head, black head, with his boots. Why would the white man do this? Because the white man understands the science of psychology. And the white man wanted to put fear in the mothers who were standing by, watching another mother, their black sister, being cut open in that manner, and the baby being snatched from her, the black baby snatched from her womb. What would this do? It would cause the adrenaline of fear to run through the black mother's womb. The adrenaline of fear would run through her womb and run through her body, and the baby would come into the world. The black baby would come into the world afraid of a wicked, cruel white master. And so he would put fear in the black mother before the birth of her baby, and put fear in the unborn baby before the baby even came to full life in the light of the sun. This is a wicked master who wants to rule not for a day, not for a week, not for a month or for a year or for 100 years, nor for 200 or 300 years, but this is a master who wants to rule forever. He wants to rule perpetually. And the only way to rule perpetually is you must capture the woman. Once you destroy and conquer the man, you must put your ideas in the head of the woman. You must put your ideals in the head of the woman. Put your teaching in the head. The conqueror, once he conquers the man, must then take control of the thinking process of the women. That is why the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan teach us that you cannot think of reforming a nation unless you think of reforming the woman first. You cannot think of changing a nation unless you change the woman first. You cannot think of rising unless the woman begins to rise first. Because if the woman is not up, then the nation can't come up. And if it comes up, it can't stay up. Because it's the woman that is the key to the whole thing. And so the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says 75% of his work and his mission is with the black woman. Not with the black man. He said 75% of his mission is with the black woman, because the black woman is so key, so important to the rise and the reformation of a nation. There can be again no reformed black man until there's a reformed black woman. And so Sister Shahrazad Ali, in her book, The Black Man's Guide to Understanding the Black Woman, touches on certain of those keys. And in touching on those keys, she speaks of the fact that the black woman must have a certain mentality if the black nation is to come up again. She must be black, not just skin, but black is color, culture, consciousness, and a corresponding cosmic connection. Black, let's run it again. The definition of black, you with me? Black is color, what is it? Culture, consciousness, and a corresponding cosmic connection. What do you mean? How we hook up with God? That's what I'm talking about. What is our relationship with God Almighty? And your relationship with God Almighty is that you are the very people who are the first people that he breathed the breath of life into them. You are made in his image and after his likeness. And so we are from the very family of God himself. We are from the Creator's nation. And the black woman is the mother of the Creator's nation. Are you with me? So when we say the black woman must be black, it means she must be black in skin, she must be black in thought, she must be black in her heart, she must be black in her deeds on a daily and consistent basis. What do you mean black in her deeds, black in her heart? I mean that you can't watch as the world turns and all my chitlins and as the world turns and all my chitlins and the young and the restless and watch Alexis and watch Luke and Lara and as the world burns and all that stuff. You cannot pattern your life after the lives of white folks on the movie screen and the TV screen. You can't really pattern your life after the Huxtables. Because how many of us come from a family like the Huxtables? Some of us do. And I find it to be a positive program. And I find Brother Cosby to be one who is consistent in his stand for black people. And I love the fact that he will take his money and not just use it selfishly, but will use it for the education of the black nation. And I love the fact that he has such a special relationship with Sister Camille. He doesn't let show business, he doesn't let the movies, he doesn't let anything come between him and Camille. That's a family, and nobody is able to tamper with that. But the masses don't live like the Huxtables. How many black families do you know in Harlem where the wife is a lawyer and the husband is a doctor? Huh? You know that the stones are falling out of your brown stone. Your brown stone is turning yellow. And you know that the condition that we live in all of the boroughs and throughout America is not one as depicted on the Huxtables on television, though there is much positive that we can draw from that particular show. You cannot pattern your lives after what you see on the TV screen. The white family is not the same as the black family. Now in the colleges and universities, they are not only teaching in many of the colleges and universities psychology, but they're also teaching black psychology. They're not only just teaching sociology now, but they're teaching black sociology. They're not just teaching theology now, but they're teaching black theology. Why do you have to make a distinction? Because the chicken and the chicken hawk are not the same. The ant and the ant eater, they're just not the same. One is the natural enemy to the other. One is a predator and one is the prey. And though the chicken might want to be like the chicken hawk, most of the time the chicken is just going to be a meal of the chicken hawk. And so we can't try to live our lives like the oppressor. We must live our lives according to the way that Almighty God lays it out in this book called the Bible and in this book called the Holy Quran. which comes from the root in Africa from the ancient black man and black woman. Now, I'm going to wrap this up. We're not going to stay in here all evening because many of you have things that you want to do this evening. You're anxious to run back out there in the rain. And I'm not going to keep you here if that's what you want to do. We'll cover a few more points and then we'll let you go. Again, no nation can rise higher than its woman. And if you want to reform a people, you must first of all reform the woman. Because we learn our first lessons from the woman. She is our first teacher. We learn how to speak from woman. We learn most of our early knowledge from woman. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, they teach us that mother, which is the highest form of womanhood, that motherhood is the highest form of womanhood, and that mother is she who nourishes and nurtures the new life in accord with its nature until it reaches maturity and develops toward perfection. Mother is she who nourishes and nurtures the new life in accord with its nature until it reaches maturity and develops toward perfection. But a mother must know the nature of what she is nourishing and nurturing, because the key here is in accord with its nature. If you don't know the nature of your baby, black woman, then you cannot nurture it in accord with the way that God would want it to come up. But in order to know the nature of your baby, you must know the nature of your black self. And you must know the nature of your black man. And you must know the nature of the circumstances under which you have now been placed after 400 years under the white man. What is the nature of the black man? And what is the nature of the black woman? What is the nature of the black baby? The nature of the black man is the nature of God himself. The nature of the black woman is the nature of God himself. And when you are yourself, you produce God from your womb, black woman. Even in your state of confusion, we, the black man and black woman, every now and then we have strokes of genius. No pun intended. Every now and then we hit strokes of genius and we produce a little God. We produce with a small g. We produce a little Jesus, because it is written that from the womb of the woman would come the solution to the problems of the people. Whatever ails the society, whatever problems the society is facing, you know where the answer is going to come from? Answer is going to come from over here. If it's the cure for cancer, God has ordained it that the cure for cancer will come from the womb of a woman. If it's the cure for AIDS, we got a real cure for that. It's just stop doing what you're not supposed to be doing with who you know you ain't supposed to be doing it with. Because this ain't the time for you to be doing that stuff. But if it is a cure for AIDS, if it is a cure for sickle cell anemia, whatever it is a cure for, if it is a solution to the social, political, and economic problems that black people face, then God has ordained that those solutions will come from the womb of a woman. That he will bless the nation by pouring out his blessings from the womb of a woman. What does this say to you, black man? What does this say to me? What does this say to us? It says to us that when you mistreat a woman, you're mistreating God's representative. When you mistreat a woman, you're mistreating your future. When you abuse a woman, you're abusing your future. When you misuse a woman, you are misusing your future. because God gives the nation a future through the womb of a woman. In fact, the woman is the sacred divine vessel of Almighty God. The sacred divine vessel of Almighty God. And so that's why, black man, this being the best of all of the women, and this being the woman of women, of women, and the mother of mothers, that is why you ain't got no business with Susie Ronwickel. That's why you ain't got no business with Donna DeVarini and Kathy and Cindy Snosniger and the rest of those girls. This is your woman here. The white man has always known that the black woman was the best woman. That's why he would leave Miss Ann and Miss Daisy in the big house up front and would always be found tipping in the back in the slave shack with Lizzie and Lottie B and Sister Red and Chili Red and Dirty Red and all the rest of them in the back. Big Mama Thornton in the back. That's where he was. Old crackers like George Washington. Old crackers like Thomas Jefferson. These old crackers in Peckerwood, they were leaving Martha and the rest of them white women up front. And they were in the slave quarters in the back. George Washington had black babies. Thomas Jefferson had black babies. And they sold their own black babies into slavery for kegs of molasses and kegs of syrup. Oh, yes, it's true. They're nothing but devils. And you were told that they're the founding fathers. They are of this country, and this is the United Snakes of America. And so they are the founding fathers of the United Snakes of America. There's no question about that. But he always knew that this was a special woman. He might have called her a belly warmer. He might have called her many names. But he knew that this was a special, special woman. And so he separated us and divided us from our woman. How did he do this? If the nature of the black man is God, and if the nature of the black woman is that of God, and we are made in the image and after the likeness of God, and as the Holy Quran said, he breathed his spirit into us, and he fashioned us from black mud fashioned into shape. If that is true, then what happened to the black man? When the white man brought us here on the slave ship, the white man set out immediately to kill the black man. And he named us Negro. Negro means dead. Not to do with the color on the outside of your head, but Negro means dead in the head. A Negro is dead. Not to determine the color of our skin, but the content of our knowledge. It was to say that he had robbed us completely of a knowledge of self. As the Masons say, he had struck us a blow to the head, which rendered us dead. He struck us a blow to the head, which rendered us dead. He killed the black man. And where the black man used to be a pyramid builder, now he's a project dweller. Where the black man used to be the builder and the fashioner of the Sphinx and great and mighty kingdoms and empires in the world, the black man has not been in his glory for the past 50,000 years. The black man in specific over the past 6,000 years or 400 years has not been himself. But now the nature of woman is to look up to man. Woman, I don't care what you say, sister. Your nature is to look up to a man. But the man must have certain qualities. You can't just look up to him because he's male. You have to look up to him because he's a man, but a man who is reflecting God. Not just a man who reflects on God. All praise is due to Allah. Not just a man who reflects on God, but the black woman is looking for a man who reflects God. Your nature teaches you, sister, to look up to a man, to honor a man, to respect a man. When that man is reflecting God's light, God's spirit, God's energy, and God's power. So everywhere this woman goes, she's looking for a man. She's looking for a man like the man that she read about in the book. The preacher told her about a man. That's why the church is full of sisters. You can't get in the church for the sisters. Screaming and hollering and shouting, woo! And dancing up and down the aisle. Jumping over the benches and throwing them empty purses all in the air. Because you don't throw no purses with no money in it. You throwing them empty purses in the church. Why are you in the church, sister? Because you are a spiritual woman, yes. Because you are God's woman, yes. But you are also in the church because your relationship with your man has been broken. You, like Mary had to bring Jesus up during certain periods without a man. Hagar had to bring Ishmael up during certain periods without Abraham. All throughout the book, women have to bring their babies up without a man. And so the black woman has a special relationship with God. That's why when you come among black women, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan says to us, you will find that most of the seers are women. Most of the prophetess are women. Most of the readers are women. Why? Because they have a special, unique connection and relationship with God because their man has been destroyed by the white man. The connection has been cut with their man, and so they got a relationship with God on high. All praise is due to Allah. But everywhere you go, she's looking for a man that reflects God, a man that will put her soul at rest, a man who will stop her searching and her seeking. And so when you see her on the bus, she's looking for a man. When you see her down underground on the subway, she's looking for a man. When you see her in the choir stand, she's looking for a man. When you see her in the pew, she's looking for a man. And so the preacher said, well, I want to tell you about a man today. And the sister said, well, tell me about the man. Who is the man? What man are you going to tell me about? And the preacher calls out one man's name in the church. He can tear up the church. He don't have to have no knowledge at all. He doesn't have to have not any but nair degree from the theological seminary. Doesn't have to have any degrees. All he got to do is say, Jesus. Well, Jesus. Jesus. Well, Jesus. I want to talk about a man today named Jesus. I say his name is Jesus. Jesus. I mean, that's all he might say. The whole sermon is just Jesus. And sister just be throwing, oh, oh, shimma, 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 my mama. Woo! But, He mentioned this man named Jesus, and sister start talking in another tongue. Yes, she does. She does. Why? Because the preacher say, I want to tell you about a man that's going around taking names. And he goes on to tell you that this man is a man that's a mind fixer and a heart regulator. Or is he a heart regulator and a mind fixer? He's the lily of the valley. Sister said, that sure is sweet. Say he's the lily of the valley. Say he's the rose of Sharon. Say he's the bright. He's the bright and the morning star. He's a rock in a weary land. And he's a comforter when you ain't got no comforter. Huh? Tells you that he's a lawyer. He's a doctor. He's a counselor. Huh? He's a king. He's a prince. He's a ruler. He's a mighty God. In fact, he's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the God of God. Is that what the preacher say? Well, let the church say amen. Church say amen again. Church say amen one more time. You know what I'm talking about. And the black woman, if you don't know, she knows what I'm talking about. You talk to the black woman says, oh, I'm all wrapped up in Jesus. She say, Jesus is my man. I'm all wrapped up in him. In him is my salvation. He is my all. What do you mean? What is she saying? She's saying, I'm looking for a man that reflects. I'm looking for a man that reflects God. I'm looking for a man that I can look up to. I'm looking for a man that I can respect. Looking for a man that I can honor. Looking for a man that is God in the flesh here on this earth. That when I see him, I see the Father, because he's in the Father and the Father is in him. But I want him in my house and in my arms, the black woman is saying. That's what she's saying. All praise is due to Allah. The black woman is looking for a man, and she's looking for a man that reflects God, because her nature, black man, will not allow her to bow down her will nor submit to that which is weaker than she. Her nature, being the woman of God, will not allow her to bow down and submit to that which is not strong enough mentally, morally, spiritually, emotionally, and materially to sustain her. And so God has put it in her nature to always mash a little bit, lean a little bit, press a little bit, squeeze a little bit. If I didn't say it, pinch a little bit. Because she has to test the black man. It's almost like the black man is a bridge over troubled waters of the world. And before she steps out on the bridge with her baby, she has to check the bridge. She has to test the bridge to see if the bridge can take her over to the other side. All praise is due to Allah. If the bridge shakes too much, if it rattles too much, she'll back up in a minute. She said, hell, I can fall down in the ravine all by myself. I ain't got to fall down with no raggedy bread. But God made her that way, because from her womb is going to come the future of the black nation. So she has to put weight and stress and pressure to see if the black man can hold up. But that is not a license to be in a disrespectful mode. But she cannot respect that which she cannot look up to. And so the white man knew that. And so he robbed the black man of his name. Robbed him of his language, his religion, his culture, his God, his folkways, his mores, his norms. Broke the black man of the power of his own being. Took the chains and put them on his wrists and his ankles, and also put the chains on the black man's brain. Huh? Broke him down. How did he do it? He first robbed the black man of a knowledge of his black self. Made him think that he was nothing but a stud horse. Made him think that he was nothing but Big Bubba or John Henry the steel driving man. Made him think that he was just to drive for Miss Daisy all of his life. Broke the black man down and robbed him of a knowledge of himself. And then you could have a black man 6'8", weigh 260 pounds, and a little puny buttermilk complexion, gimli toe, buck teeth, snagger tooth, bozo watching, pee in the bed, peckerwood boy might only be 8-9 years old, and this big black man would be looking down calling this little cracker boy master. Little master so-and-so. He was a so-and-so, all right, but they called him little master. The black man's will was destroyed. The black man was killed as a man. And so in the Bible, in the book of Kings, it talks about the black woman in symbolic language, because this Bible is written in parables, in symbols, in metaphors, and in similes. And you must understand the parable, the metaphor, the symbol, or the simile, or you'll go in the book of fool and you'll come out an even bigger fool. You can't go by the Bible. I know some of the mothers in the audience. We love you. Sit back, relax, hold on to your rose. Buckle your seatbelt, mother. But we're going to try to make the ride as smooth for you as we can. But I know some of you saying, well, he's doing all right, the little boy up there. But I, Lord, have mercy, I just goes by my Bible. Well, mothers, you need to stop going by your Bible. You need to start going in your Bible more. And if you'll start going in it and stop just going by it, knowledge respects knowledge. And respect. When you have knowledge, you can relate to knowledge. When you have an understanding, you can relate to a different understanding. And when you have wisdom, wisdom respects wisdom. And so if you are they who study this book, the Bible, and you nurse the Bible, if you study the milk of the Word and the meat of the Word, then you know that what I'm saying to you here today from the Honorable Louis Farrakhan, coming from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, is right and exact, and it's right on time. In the book of Kings, it calls the black woman a widow. W-I-D-O-W, is that right? A widow. What is a widow? A widow is one whose man is dead. Is that right? The Masons talk about it. The Masons talk about one who was hit in the head at the east gate, which is nothing but Africa. Eastern Star, you know what I'm talking about. The Eastern Stars in the audience. The Herons of Jericho. The Herons of Jericho, the Eastern Star, the Daughters of the Amaranth and the Daughters of the Sphinx. Whatever your order is, you know what I'm talking about. We're going to put it all in order before the day is over. the Masons in the audience, if you 1 degree, 2 degree, 3 degree, huh? Whatever lodge you come out of, if you 32nd or 33rd, sit back. Hit in the head at the east gate, and the east gate is Africa. Carried on a westerly course. Buried in the north corner or the northwest corner, the Masons say and the eastern stars say, where there is no light. Huh? Buried under an old rubbish heap. Under the filth, immorality, indecency, homosexuality, and freakishness of New York City and San Francisco and all of these other cities in America. Buried under an old rubbish heap. Under the filth, immorality, again indecency, and licentiousness of the Western world in the hells of North America. A widow whose man is dead. Oh, I don't mean no harm, brother, but the black man is a dead man today. The black man is not the man that he used to be. The black man built empires that the white man had to bow down to. I've been inside of the Great Pyramid or the Great Khufu in what they call Egypt, which the true name is Kemet, which means the land of the black. There are sections that when you enter in, you have to get down on your knees and crawl through certain chambers. Why? Because you are forced to bow down to the builders of these temples. I remember, according to the history, when the black man was in his power, when the black man was in glory, when you were in your power, there would be no cracker running around South Africa named F.W. de Klerk. There would be no P.W. Botha. There would be no John Foster. There would be no Posmore prison. There would be no Robben Island. There would be no Mandela in prison for 30 years when Shaka Zulu ruled in South Africa and the AmaZulu and other warriors when the black man was in his glory. The Zulu Empire swept throughout Africa, came all the way up as far as Zimbabwe. Yes, it did. When you were in your glory, you gave medicine to the world. You gave music to the world. You gave art to the world. You gave civilization to the world. When the black man was himself, he was a builder and a developer, but he was also a fierce warrior and fighter and defender. When the black man was himself, he was the burning spear. When the black man was himself, it was a scorched earth policy. He would kill everything white that was in sight that wasn't right whenever it came and threatened his civilization. But the black man has been robbed of a knowledge of himself. The black man thinks today that he's Harry McGillicuddy. The black man today thinks he's Mr. Brown and Mr. Rivers and Mr. Muddy Waters and By the Steel Waters and Mr. Orangeburg and Miss Green, Mr. Greenleaf, Mr. Underwood, Mr. Overbrook, Mr. Swartz, Mr. Sneed, Mr. Scapinelli, Mr. Dangerfield. The black man thinks he's Mr. Workman today. He thinks he's Mr. White today. But these are the names of your former slave master. These are the names of the white man. And if you are here today, black man, and still wearing the name of a white man, it means you've been robbed of a knowledge of yourself, and you don't even know that you've been robbed of a knowledge of yourself. The Book of Kings says the black woman is a widow, that her man is dead. Eastern stars and Masons talk about this widow whose man is dead. And it tells you that there were those who wanted to raise the widow. They didn't know what to do. But it wasn't until the coming of a man named Elijah. In the Book of Kings, a man named Elijah came. Elijah didn't come with the lion's paw, and he didn't come with the eagle's claw. Elijah came with the master grip that wouldn't slip. He came with the master grip that wouldn't slip. And it says that the widow had had a son, a new generation of youth. From 15 now to 25, they called black young men an endangered species. And Elijah would come according to the Bible and the book of Kings, and he would have the master grip that wouldn't slip, and he would raise the widow's son from a dead level to a living perpendicular, upright on the square. And so we should be looking for a man named Elijah. It didn't say Jesse. Didn't say keep hope alive. Hope in what? Like Lazarus lying at the gate of the rich man, begging for the crumbs that fall from the rich man's table, and still got hope that he's going to drop some bigger crumbs from the table. What about your own damn table? What about your own damn room? What about your own damn building and land and ground that the table was there sitting on and the crumbs were falling from the table? Get up, Lazarus. The black man today is a Lazarus. L-A-Z-A-R-U-S. When you study the etymology, ain't gonna get fancy on you. All that means is the origin of the word. Is that right, Farrakhan? My little son Farrakhan there. Give him a black hand. When you study the origin, the what?
Origin.
When you study the root, the what? The etymology of the term Lazarus, you will find that Lazarus at the base of it is L-A-Z, right? It's the same root as L-A-Z-Y. Lazarus was a lazy one in the parable of Jesus in the scripture. You used to sing the song in the church, "Oh Mary, don't you weep. Oh Martha, don't you moan." Mary was weeping and Martha was moaning, and the shortest verse in the Bible was Jesus wept. Some of you, all of you know about that one, because you know that it's time to eat. You got to say your blessing. You can't eat. As you say your blessing, you're looking at that pile of chicken, and you got your eye on that drumstick or that big fat crispy thigh right there, and you want to reach for it, and you know you better not reach your hand on mama or daddy's table without saying your blessing. So you say the shortest blessing you can say, Jesus wept. You say, Jesus wept, and reach for that drumstick real quick before somebody else is saying, oh, we thank you for this food that we're about to receive for the nurses, our bodies. By the time they open their eyes, you've had three drumsticks. So you're familiar with the scripture, Jesus wept. But Jesus wept means Jesus cried. Mary was weeping, Martha was moaning, and Jesus wept. Jesus cried. Shortest verse in the Bible. Why was Jesus weeping? Jesus was weeping and Martha was moaning. Mary was weeping and Martha was moaning because Lazarus was dead. Now, what is it about Lazarus that would make Mary weep, Martha moan, and make Jesus the Master, the Lord, the Messiah himself cry? The Redeemer, what would make him cry? Who is this Lazarus? What is it about Lazarus that would make God's man on earth, who represented God in the flesh, walking among men and women on the earth, Jesus himself cry? Something special about this Lazarus. Now, what do we know about Lazarus? We know that Lazarus was dead for 4 days, the Bible says. 4 days. So teaches the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan.
beneficent, the merciful, all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of all the world. I bear witness that there is, regardless to land or label or language, but one God. I bear witness to Osiris, to Isis, to Abraham, to Jesus, to Moses, and Muhammad, and all of the great worthies who came in the great line of divine. I greet you, my beloved and beautiful black brothers and sisters, with the greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam, sir.
I will try not to hold you very long today, but something is very heavy on my heart, especially with now getting the news of the fate of our young brothers in the so-called Central Park jogger case. It has weighed on my heart all night since getting the news on yesterday. As we look at the case of Sister Mariam Muhammad or Tawana Brawl, now we look at this devil white woman. How they attempted to give us an image of this woman of purity and evoke so much sympathy and empathy around the honor and the purity of this cracker woman. So I have chosen as my subject today, so hold on to your seatbelt, don't be shy. I'll clear it up as we go along, but don't let it shock you. My subject today is the white woman is a bitch. Because if you leave out the second part, you'll think I'm being bold. A female two-legged dog. We are taught by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan that of all our studies, history is best qualified, most attractive to reward our research. That if we know what happened yesterday, we can intelligently discuss today, because today is built on yesterday and tomorrow is built on today.
That's right.
All kinds of theories on how the white man got here.
Yes.
Some say that all of the people on the face of the planet Earth used to at one time be white.
Come on.
That everybody was white, but because they migrated to hotter climates, that we turned black as a result of going to the temperate zone and to the torrid zone. What foolish. Climate does not determine the pigmentation of the skin. It is in the skin something that is called melanin, and melanin determines the pigmentation of the skin, and the more we study it now, we are finding that melanin even goes deeper. A study of melanin, we're finding that it's linked to more than just pigmentation, that it might even have something to do with personality. It might have something to do with the core spirituality and even morality of a people. For the people who lack melanin, then they repel to a greater degree than those who have melanin. All things have melanin, but we're talking about the greater concentration of melanin. The people who are the most melanated people are the people who are in tune with nature, in tune and in harmony with the universe and the cosmos. We are taught that for every physical law, there's a mental and a spiritual counterpart.
Come on.
White people repel sunlight.
Come on.
White is the absence of color. It is not the presence of color, but the absence of color. Black is not a color at all. Black is actually the essence from which
being a demelanated people, a mutant people, an extreme case of albinism walking around on the face of the planet Earth. And so in Spanish for the term white, you say blanco. B-L-A-N-C-O. And the etymological root is blank. As we say, nothing. Or play would say nothing. And French is what? Who speaks French? What is it, sister? Blanc. It's blanc. And the root there is also what?
Come on.
Nothing. Blank. It means the absence of. These are a demelanated mutant people, and they have what is considered a, many of them, a calcified pineal gland. We'll get into that at another time. But if these are the people who represent an absence of color and less melanin than the people of the earth who are made in God's image and after his likeness, the black woman and the black man, then that means that to some degree they are out of tune and out of sync with nature and the harmony of the sphere.
Yes, right.
For everything in nature bows and submits to the sunlight.
Right.
Everything needs sun because sun is the great giver of light, light, and energy in the universe.
That's right.
Look at the sun flower. This is a flower called the sun flower. As the sun moves, the sunflower moves.
Yeah.
In whatever direction the sun moves, the sunflower turns to a minimal degree in that direction so that it can soak in and bathe in the sun, drink in the rays of the sun. The sun's rays striking the planet at its imaginary equator causes it to spin at 1,037 and a third miles per hour, making a complete revolution on its own axis every 23 hours, 56 minutes, and 46 seconds. But it is sunlight striking the planet at its equator that makes it spin and move and causes, as it moves around the sun, bowing in submission to the divine law of Almighty God, it causes the change in the four major seasons. But it is light that causes that. And if we are to get out of the condition that we are in as a dead man and a dead woman, a dead black man and a dead black woman, then we must have light in our minds, light to strike our hearts, and light to strike our lives in a way, lives, minds, and hearts in a way that will move us. What kind of light do we need?
Come on. Good question.
Well, a flashlight works.
No,
that's not the right kind of light. What about a match light? No, that won't work. What about a little candle light? No, that won't do it. What about a bud light? No, a bud light won't do it either. It's got to be the light from the wisdom, the supreme wisdom of Almighty God. It must come from the very nature and soul of the people of God, the black man and the black woman. That ancient wisdom and enlightenment, supreme wisdom, is what will cause your brain cells to rotate and will cause your lives to rotate and cause us to move from the state or condition that we are in to a higher plane and higher quality of human life and development as we move beyond womanhood and manhood back to Godhood as the family of God himself. Being the people of the light, the sons and daughters of the light, we bathe in the sun. In Africa, in some parts, we can walk around what the old folks call or the elders call buck neck. Now that's real neck. That ain't just neck. We walk around buck neck. Walk in the sun. No sun can.
That's right.
No man can.
That's right.
No Caliban.
That's right.
No suntan lotion.
That's right.
We just walk around and bathe.
in the sun.
Yeah.
Work in the sun.
That's right.
Huh? Worship in the sun.
Yeah.
Play and recreate in the sun.
That's right.
Make love in the sun.
That's
right. Sleep in the sun.
Yeah.
Eat in the sun.
Yeah.
Swim in the sun. Bathe in the sun.
Right.
The sons and daughters of the light. The sons and daughters of the sun, because we are in harmony when we are ourselves, and when you leave us alone, we are in harmony with God's divine law. What you see on the streets of Harlem and Brooklyn and Bronx and Queens and Long Island, you're not looking at a real black man. You're not looking at a real black woman. I'm not looking at a real black man. You're not looking at a real black man. I'm not looking at a real black woman, and you're not looking at a real black man. What we are looking at is a black man and a black woman under the effects of captivity.
Yes.
Under the effects of captivity.
Yes.
This is not really us.
No.
What you see on the streets out there, that's not us.
Right.
Pimping our women.
That's right.
Two live crew. What kind of madness is this? Got our sister out there with her behind out.
Come on.
Tell me they're down at the Jack the Rapper conference or convention in Atlanta, Georgia, walking sisters around with almost G-strings on. They're mingling among the men like whores and prostitutes. Any black man that will take his black woman and strip her almost naked and turn her behind up to the public is not a black man, but he's a punk. And he needs to fight for him. I told him to put another speaker on the back wall, but for some reason we just don't do that. Two Live Crew, we will try to reach them. We will try to teach them. But there will come a time when we're looking for the dedicated black men, the soldiers who are for real, who want to see the liberation of the black nation, who want to see the salvation of the black nation, who want to see the black woman and the black man wake up, clean up, and stand up. We cannot be a new people as long as we hold on to the old ways and the old thinking of the white man. We'll just be with our booba and our tiki and our dashiki and our dreadlocks and our crown on our head and our kente cloth. We'll just be the white man's nigger in a dressed up ring. No, we have to change to this. There must be a new black man and a new black woman. That's the only way we're going to do it. Because the white man's world is falling under the weight of his own corruption. And we cannot feel anything following the filth, the immorality, the indecency, the freakish homosexual and licentious way of the white man. And the white woman. Some of you brothers, when we say the white man is the devil, you saw us there.
I didn't think the camera was going to happen.
I thought the devil. But when we say the white woman is the devil, you say, oh, wait a minute now. Is the white woman the devil too? The white woman is the mother of the devil. The pig is nasty and filthy and dirty and low down. Then the sow that produces the pig has to be even more nasty and filthy and dirty and low down.
Right.
All of these diseases in the black community.
That's right.
Disease is sweeping Africa.
Yeah.
Because these nasty, filthy, diseased devils have come in among us. The Indians didn't know nothing about syphilis and gonorrhea.
That's right.
The only way an Indian got it is he got it from the white man when the white man came over on the Mayflower. You didn't come on the Mayflower. You didn't land in Plymouth Rock. You got hit in the head with the rock. You didn't land in Plymouth Rock. But you eat more pumpkin pie, you waiting for November now. You don't eat more pumpkin pie and more turkey and dressing and cranberry sauce than the cracker. It's Thanksgiving. Every day should be Thanksgiving for the black man and black woman. Every day should be Thanksgiving for us. But we don't adopt a white man's holiday. You didn't come on the Mayflower, fool. You came in a slave ship. We came in a slave ship. We didn't come on the Mayflower. But the white man came over and gave venereal diseases to the Indians. Where did the white man get syphilis and gonorrhea from? Got it from the dog. In the caves and hills of Europe. With the dog. I've told you about it before, some of you. I joke about it sometimes, but it's real. I can imagine dear Abby. And the white man writing dear Abby. Dear Abby. I've waited so long, Abigail. The gee whiz, I just had to write to you. It's just troubling me so much. It's just such a far-out problem. It's getting the best of me, Abby. It's Susie Sugar. I'm having problems. It would be all right if she were with another man. But it's not another man. And you know, Abby, how we do things. It would even be all right if it were another woman. But it's not another woman, Abby. Come on. Even if it were a nigger, Abby. I could take a nigger. But it's not a nigger, Abby. It's our dog. Sound people got to come in here and get the sound together. Don't they?
Yes,
I can't do this every week. I'm putting you on front street. Where all the sound people having to come out? Let's look at the sound. Come on out, all of the sound. Come on up front. Where the sound people? Come on out of there. Every week we go through this. Come on up front. These are the sound people. They look like sound brothers. They're going to get it together for us. Let's give them some inspiration and encouragement, because otherwise they do a great job. Give them a black man. Thank you, brother. And so Abby writes it back. Dear Poochie in the Coochie. The white woman has a long-standing relationship with the dog. We never did that in Africa. We don't mess around with them animals in Africa. Them lions and tigers don't play that stuff. The white man has to put a law in the book to protect the sheep. I don't know what it is with him and that sheep, but he loves sheep. They have to pass a law, and the judge has to give a court order to keep the white man off of the sheep. But we just didn't do that in Africa. It's not in our nature to do that. But the white man and the white woman having intercourse with the dogs and animals in the caves and hills of Europe, and they still do it today in the hills of America, came in and gave the Indians syphilis and gonorrhea. Now AIDS is out there. And they want us to believe that a green monkey gave it to them. It might have come from a green monkey, but it was a white man that gave it to the green monkey. AIDS is no accident. The white man has something going. The white man is planning, and always has, and always will, it's nothing new, genocide against black people. AIDS is a form of genocide. why we've got to wake up, clean up, and stand up.
Yes, sir.
Give the white man and the white woman their filthy ways back. And we won't have to worry about it. And we will give them their practices back. And we will go back to our natural God-like state and our Afrocentric way of living, the way we lived before they came among us. Brothers and sisters, this case has really troubled me. And it's troubled me because these young brothers, in my judgment, are not guilty of anything. In my mind is that the white man is guilty, and I'm trying to hurry and get to that. The real criminal is the white man. The real criminal is the white woman. The white man is guilty, and the white woman is guilty. It's true. The scripture hints and gives us a sign that the oppressors of the earth, and primarily one great beast, mentioned in Revelation and in the book of Daniel, one great beast, and that great beast is America. And the Old Testament talks about this great beast even beyond Daniel, that there would be an uprising. Says that their cities would be set on fire. Says the people would come from a distant land, from a far land, and their only desire would be to lay him low or to kill him. It speaks of the hint of even the women of this oppressor being raped by other nations of the earth. It talks about the murder of the women of that oppressive nation. It talks about the babies, the little blonde-haired, blue-eyed, pale-skinned babies of the oppressor. The Bible talks being snatched from the white mother's arms and the baby's head being dashed against the rock. This is the Bible talk. I don't have any regret at all over anything that happens to the white man or the white woman. None. I don't care how you feel about that. I don't care what you think of me about that. As many of our people as they have murdered and they continue to murder, as many of our women as they have raped, I don't condone rape, but I don't care about a devil being busted in the head with bricks and rocks and beaten with pipes. The only problem is a no good devil just died. That's the only problem. We were brought here against our will and made to work as burden bearers for white America. Burden bearers for white America. I don't care nothing about the white woman. Not a white man. I believe those brothers are innocent and the white man is the guilty one. But what upset the white man is he thought that that was the beginning of what he's been reading in the book. When their women will be beaten and mutilated and killed in cold blood. God's answer to the millions upon millions, even billions of our people that have been destroyed by them over the past 4,000 years in general during the 6,000-year period of their rule on the planet. He thought this was the beginning of that. And so on trumped-up charges, they take our brothers and lock them up. A white woman who can't even remember what happened. So she said. But the nasty, low-down, two-legged dog jogging in the park. That time of night. I haven't forgotten Stewart in Boston, Massachusetts. A devil who charged a black man. He chose what black man he wanted. He charged him with the murder of his wife and his unborn baby. And charged him with shooting him when he had actually shot himself. Killed his baby unborn. television and it goes on international satellites that a nigger has shot him, that a nigger has killed him and his white wife and his white baby.
Come on.
And the emotions of the world were stirred up, not just against one black man, but the emotions of the world were stirred up against black men all over the world because of a no-good lying devil who said that a black man shot him and killed his wife and was responsible for his baby never coming from the womb into the light of the sun. Then we find out that the devil was lying. Didn't he commit suicide? Then the devil killed himself. Well, that's all right. The only regret I have is that we didn't get a chance to kill him. That's the only regret I have. You can be weak if you want to. We will never be strong until you face the reality of what is happening to us. We will always be weak and at the feet of white people, grumbling and begging at their feet, begging for the crumbs that fall from their table. We will always be at their mercy and the mercy of their lily white court. Judge Bruce, cut them loose, Bruce Wright says, black robe, white justice. Black robe, white justice. It's just us. Meaning just white folks, it's just for them. Statue of Liberty, blind. Well, that could mean something else. Doesn't mean necessarily fairness and impartiality. Blind could mean that you turn a deaf ear and you cover your eyes when it's time to give justice to the oppressed, the huddled masses that are now at your shore and at your door. Didn't come to your shores and your doors as immigrants, but came to build your country for you. A blind bitch sitting in the harbor who does not see justice for the black man and the black woman. When I say bitch, it only means a dog. We take it and make it a negative cursing word, but a bitch is a dog, a jiffy dog that will raise its her tail and go around from dog to dog to dog. It makes no difference. And the white woman is that kind of a two-legged dog that will go out in Central Park in the middle of the night like a jiffy, low-down, two-legged bitch dog looking for somebody in the midnight hour. Somebody says she has a black boyfriend. I don't know if it's true or not. If she has one, he is a boyfriend. Huh? He's the dog's best friend. Can't be a man friend. Black men have black women. Black men don't have white women. You can wear all the dreadlocks you want to and then leave out of here and go get you a white woman. You can wear all the kitchen cloth you want to and then go out of here and get you a white girl and walk through Harlem walking your dog on your leash, walking through Brooklyn and Bronx and the Queens and Long Island and Jersey with your dog. But you are nothing but a white man's nigger in a dressed up way. Leave the white man's diseased white woman alone. And you leave the diseased white man alone. Diseased mind, diseased spirit, diseased morals, diseased in every way have corrupted the very air that we have to breathe and the water we have to breathe. Have mixed truth and falsehood together. These lying giants. But a jiffy, a bitch, a two-legged dog that will parade herself in Central Park hoping for a cheap thrill, hoping that someone will see her, and we are not sure who did it to the dog. But the sperm or the semen that they got from the bitch, remember a bitch is a two-legged dog. I have to keep reminding you because you're so weak and punkified until you will try to make it other than what I'm saying. But whatever definition you have for a bitch, that's the white woman. You're taking on that one, woman. investigation and fact-finding. DNA is supposed to be like a print, a fingerprint. In some cases, it's even better than a fingerprint. And so when they run the forensic test and they run the DNA test, it doesn't come up showing any connection with any of our young brothers. It's only connected to the bitch, two-legged dog, white girl, and those who were connected to her, but nothing to do with our young brothers.
Come on.
There'll come a time when we will have all kinds of pipes.
Yes.
And we'll be beating white folks everywhere. Yes. When you wake up, that's what he's afraid of. When you wake up, you'll be killing everything white that ain't right that's in sight. All over the place. And you'll start by killing the white in yourself. We'll start killing the white in ourselves. The first pipe crew, we must take the pipe and start beating the white man out of us.
Right.
Beating the white woman out of our minds and our hearts and our ways and the way we deal with each other. We deal with each other the way the white man would deal with us. We deal with each other the way the white woman would deal with us. She's a bitch. She's a two-legged, low-down dog. Didn't remember, she said. She couldn't positively identify anybody. Well, how do we know she was raped? Who said she was raped? She's been giving it up all over the world. And they like women. They like to be beat. They like blood. Am I lying? I mean, they get their thrills. Jimmy Swagger. Jimmy Swagger. Would pay big money. Jimmy didn't want to get in the bed. Jimmy just liked to watch what was happening in the bed. Jimmy would pay big money to sit there and over what was going on in the bed. They're nothing but dogs.
Yes, they are.
Freaks.
Yes.
That's not your nature. You were not a homosexual in Africa, black man and black woman. You were not what you call gay, and I don't use that term, gay. It dignifies madness too much. Gay, like you happy. Hell, you mean gay. You didn't come here that way. The Watusi didn't walk through Africa, booty gani, baby. Booty gani. The little squaw, pygmy sister, didn't walk through making muscles and trying to be a man. I was at the Harlem Week activity yesterday watching the sisters come through with African cultural attire on. Woman with woman. One sister came through, muscles bigger than any man in here. She been working out. Had on some tight jeans. Had her kitchen cloth on. She was walking with her woman. She walked through the festival like this. Like she was Shaka Zulu. Coming through. We didn't do that in Africa. Until the white man came among us. We just didn't do that. And we didn't freak out over bodies in Africa. Some parts of Africa, as I said earlier, we could be buck naked. We didn't trip on the body. The body is sacred. When you study the Afrocentric mind, which is rooted when it is itself and when it is in harmony with the true nature of itself, it is rooted in God's mind. And we see the body as a divine vessel, an expression of God. That's the African way. We see the body as the temple of God. Yes, it is. Where the very Spirit of God dwells. Jesus said, you are the temple of the living God. That's the way we see the body in Africa. Black woman walking through the jungles of Africa. Big breath. You don't see the brother swinging through the trees. Supposed to be naked and they jump out of the trees and jump on sisters. because somebody's come with a new foreign way. Before the coming of the white man, you couldn't even find the body, the temple of God. That's the way we looked at it. Black man walked through the jungle naked. See a sister, he doesn't get all excited. That's his sister. Proper things at the proper time. Everything in its proper perspective. He understands the beauty and the aesthetic of the human divine form. That's just an expression again of God. He's the God, she's the goddess under the Almighty God. That's the way the black man and woman is in Africa. That's our nature. But the white man, as Public Enemy says, as Chuck D, Flavor Flav, Terminator X, F1W, and at that time, I believe, Professor Grip was with them. And I don't never like to talk without mentioning Grip.
Yes, sir.
I'm not going to go with the Grip. I'm going to mention Grip.
Yes, sir.
They took a page from Dr. Frances Cress Welding in her Cress Theory of Color Confrontation and White World Supremacy and White People's Fear of Genetic Annihilation, and they wrote, Fear of a Black Plant. Fear of a black plant. Why a fear of a black plant? Because white people believe that if the white woman freely cohabitate with the black man, that they will be wiped from the face of the planet Earth. They believe that the black man can destroy white people totally. Now, there ain't no reason for you to form that kind of army. That's the only weapon you're going to use. No, that's not what I'm advocating here today. But that's their fear. Basketball. Big brown ball. Early sports, it was a big black ball. Representing the scrotum sack or the testes of the black male genitalia or the black male sex organ. What's the object of basketball? When you study psychology and the psyche of people, you will understand that the games they play have something to do with what's happening down in their subconscious mind. Basketball, the object is to keep this big brown ball from getting down to the other end of the court because there's a hole down there with some white neck things from it, representing the blonde hair that grows around the white female sex organ in the pubic area, and you want to keep this big black or brown ball from getting in that hole with the blonde or the white necks or hair hanging from it down on the other end of the court. Not only is the black man shooting it in, three-pointers, from the top of the key, shooting from half court and making it go in. You can even have it way down on the other end of the court. He can take it off of the opposite team's backboard and throw it all the way down to the other end of the court on the buzzer and hit nothing but blonde. You say, oh, it's just basketball, but in the subconscious of the white man, he says, oh, it makes him feel less than even what he already is. Yeah. He sits there cringing. My God. I don't have a chance. Even look Bud West.
Fraud,
and that whole school of so-called psychology. ditch dog in Central Park was looking for a cheap thrill. I don't believe our brothers had anything to do with it. But she got more than she was looking for. Yes, she did. She's no woman of honor. No woman that you should sit around crying for her, feeling sorry for her. She should have died.
Sure.
You go in the Bible a fool and come out a bigger fool. You don't understand the Bible. You need a teacher in the Bible. You need someone who will make the Bible relevant to you. And if you call yourself a naturalist, you reject the Bible, most of you. It is because the Bible has done such a terrible job and a hell of a job against our people. We can understand the naturalists rejecting the Bible. But there is someone in our midst today who understands the book, can unravel the mysteries of the book. A man in our midst that God Almighty has put his spirit in that man and has shaped that man and fashioned that man, prepared him for this time. And he came under a mighty father, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. But that man in our midst today who knows the Bible is the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. He knows this book. He knows how this book is connected to us getting land. He knows how this book is connected to us becoming a nation of people recognized by ourselves as a nation, but recognized as a world as a nation, by the world as a nation. Us becoming more conscious of our nationhood and developing statecraft or statehood where we have some of this good earth that we can call our own. It's all in the Bible when properly understood. The scripture says that they wanted in the Old Testament and the New Testament kill the male and spare the female. So they want to lock up Brother Yusuf Salam and our other brothers. They took them right out of the courtroom. Nothing but babies. But they dismissed the case of Sister Tawana Brawley. They said, even though she could identify her attacker, she didn't have amnesia, no memory of her. And one of the crackers even committed suicide, pointing to the others and committed suicide. And they still kicked her case out of court. They called to the white man, no black woman can be raped. It's never rape with a black woman. He feels that he owns you. That's why you should leave Sister Shahrazad Ali alone and leave her book alone and stop putting these handkerchief-head Negro women up against her to try to debate her. These dead women who don't know nothing about being a black woman or don't know anything about the condition of black people. Shahrazad Ali is right in many ways when she says that the black woman has been robbed of a knowledge of self. The black man has been robbed of a knowledge of self. That the black man has been swept from his divine position of power. But the Bible says, as it was in the beginning, so shall it be in the ending. That as you ruled at one time, black man, it's going to all come back full circle to the black man ruling again. Used as a soldier in the army of the white man. Yes, right. Not willingly, really unwittingly.
Yes, right.
Anytime a master, anytime an oppressor conquers a people, the oppressor takes the women of that nation.
Yes.
How you gonna deny that?
Yes.
How can you argue with her? The base of her teaching comes from the Honorable Elijah.
That's right.
For her book, The Black Man's Guide to Understanding the Black Woman. She has her own thoughts in there, but the base of her book comes from the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. It's true. When a conqueror conquers a people, when he is able to, for the most part, vanquish the men of that nation, his next step is to take the woman.
That's right.
The woman becomes the booty. She becomes the part of the spoils of war. And then he spoils her. He puts his way in her head. He puts his
Call together the Pan-Africanists, call together the nationalists, call together the conscious scholars, the brothers and sisters in the conscious circles. Call together the leaders of the former leaders and gang heads of the vice lords, the disciples, the Crips, the Bloods. Huh? Call together the brothers out of Fort Greene. Call together the brothers out of the different and sisters, the different segments of Brooklyn, Harlem. Huh? What? Yeah, call together the 5% nation, the gods and the earths. Call together the black Hebrews, all the different Hebrews, the ones that stand on the corner of the 44th and Broadway and 42nd and call a cracker, and don't bite their tongue. Damn it, they got to be at the meet. That's the kind of summit I want to go to, where everybody's mad with the white man. That all you can do is keep them from running out and going and kill a cracker that's at the stoplight in front of the meet. Now that's a summit. That's a summit. Summit is supposed to be a meeting of heads of nations. And the only man that's there that was the head of a nation was Minister Farrakhan. The rest of them niggas ain't had no nation. The rest of them niggas ain't looking for no nation. They're trying to find the shortest distance between the summit meeting and the plantation. Well, I'm finished. I thank you for these few words. I just guess it's impossible for me to. I want to just sit sometime and listen and be fed and be taught African consciousness, the African mind, the African personality understands the process of being and becoming. Being and becoming. And while you're being something, you're becoming something at the same time. We think we're where we, some of us are not what we were yesterday. We won't be tomorrow what we are today. We think we're where we're going, but we're just on our way. We're being and becoming. So while some of us are teachers, we must be students at the same time. And while many of us are students, we realize that we can only learn by teaching that which we have learned. So we're being and becoming. We're leaders, but we're followers at the same time. I'm a follower, so I come to hear. I come to learn. I come to feed from the greats who come here to the slave on Wednesday night. And we should start a recruiting drive here, like we do in the mosque, in the nation. Every seat should be full. We used to do it in the church. If it was a chitlin' dinner, fried chicken dinner or fried fish dinner, and we were trying to raise money for Reverend Pigfoot, for Pastor Pope Chop, for Reverend Doc Ham Hop. With the chitlin' juice running down his jaws, Reverend Hogmaw, Reverend Toenail. We filled the damn church house up. Everyone should go out fishing, what we call fishing in the Bible. Dr. Chelsea know what I'm talking about, and those sisters in the audience who study with her. Fishing for men and women. Fishing for the souls of black men and women, and make them born again Africans. Right. Make them born again Africans and fill them with the African Holy Ghost. Yes. So that we have a revival in here. A Bible revival for black survival every Wednesday night. But there shouldn't be an empty seat in here. You should be like Jehovah's Witness. You should be like Nation of Islam, black Muslims, or black Hebrews. You should be knocking on every door in your apartment building. You should go door to door in your community. Everybody you work with, you should have a leaflet. You should have a flyer. You should have something from the United African Movement and the meetings that are held here on Wednesday night. You should tell them you got to come down to the slave theater. Let the church say amen. Let the church say amen again. Let the church say amen one more time. Born again Africans. Born again Africans. With the African Holy Ghost. Filling up the slave every Wednesday night. Making sure again that the aisles are packed. Everyone should try to bring four brothers and sisters with you every time you come. You got to fish.
You can bring anybody here you want to, as long as they look like us. As long as they look like us, you can bring them here. But this house is for the descendants of slaves. Huh? We ain't got but a little room in here. We can't fill it up with the Vietnamese. Can't fill it up with the Chinese. We can't fill it up with the Frenchman. We can't fill it up with the German. We can't fill it up with the fake Jew, the Greek, the Freak. We can't fill it up with them. We can only fill it up with the descendants of slaves. So how many will try to bring four? Every time you come, you'll go fishing from this night on to fill the slave theater up every time you come. Let me see your black hands. Hands down. I see one or two out there sitting out there all proper. I just can't listen to that Khalid Muhammad. It's hard on my ear. He's just too hard and caustic and bellicose. That's because you're the white man's nigga. Your wig is crooked now. Somebody should slap you upside the head with truth until your wig is straight on your nappy, silly head. You sitting out there all prim and proper. You better come to yourself. We love you here. You're in the right place. If your wig is crooked, we'll straighten it and put our arms around you, and we won't tell nobody that it was crooked until you can replace it with an African gele and crown an African gown and be covered from head to toe, not only physically, but mentally, morally, and spiritually. I thank you. I have joined the United African Movement, so I'm a member. I'm saying, Assalamu alaikum.
Dr. Khalid Muhammad. Dr. Khalid Muhammad.